It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
All right, everybody. So many topics. Are you wearing that mask? Are you following the rules set by people who will happily take away our Bibles? Kevin Jackson sitting in for Sandy Rios. I appreciate Sandy turning me loose on her audience. It's a lot of trust. Oh, my goodness. I don't even know where to start. DNC conventions going on, many things happening. I'm watching a group of people who booed God, people who thumb their noses at Christians around the world. So maybe that's a good place to start. Or what about how AG Bill Barr has arrested over 1,000 hooligans, 200 of whom have been convicted, people that are wreaking havoc all over American society over what? Over lies, because we are surrounded by lies and liars. Did you guys hear the Barr hinting that the Klein-Smith plea, which happened yesterday, is nothing compared to what's coming? I don't know if you caught that. There was a little bit of innuendo when Barr made the announcement that he's like, yeah, the Klein-Smith thing is no big deal. I think America thinks it's a big deal. We finally got a trophy to put in the trophy room, not these fake trophies that the Democrats got under Bob Mueller when they coerced people like Mike Flynn, General Flynn, to admit to nothing, when they coerced George Papadopoulos to admit to having a drink with an Australian, when they coerced Manafort into admitting to nothing. What came out of that? Russians that they convicted? Do you know what happened with those Russians? Those Russians sued Bob Mueller and team and won. The only skin they have on the wall is some obscure financier from Scandinavia, who probably pled and got paid off by Soros to act as if he'd done something wrong. It was a witch hunt. And that's exactly what's been happening to America, a witch hunt. The Democrats have decided that they're going to negate you. And in order to cover up everything that they're doing, they're getting these scapegoats, people willing to admit to things that didn't happen. They tried to get the president's attorney, Cohen, nothing happened there. They tried to get Roger Stone, nothing happened there. But let me tell you, what's about to befall them is a bigger deal. And Barr alluded to it. If you guys are interested, you can certainly give me a call and I will elucidate more on that particular thing. So here's a few fun facts that we can start with today. Who said this of Joe Biden? Don't underestimate his ability to, and I'm going to be a little ginger on this term, screw things up. Don't underestimate Joe's ability to screw things up. But he used a different word. Do you know who said that? Barack Obama. The very same guy who would not endorse Joe Biden until the very end. The very same guy who encouraged Joe Biden not to run. Please, Joe, don't run. Don't ruin my legacy. Not that Barack Obama has a legacy that's worth ruining, because the legacy that I see for Barack Obama is putting a target on the backs of police officers. I made a movie about it, bleedingbluemovie.com, that we re-released on digital back in July. A spectacular film that really shows what happens in policing in America. And I'm telling you, it's all that in a bag of chips. And in fact, it's so good. I say to people, and I sincerely mean it, if you watch my film and you don't like it, send me a note and we'll refund your money. But it's bleedingbluemovie.com. So, yeah, he put a target on the back of police officers. He made the most divisive country in the world. We hadn't been this divided since the Civil War. And here's what I want you to reflect back on, how much America didn't care about race and things leading into the election of its first black president, half black president. It's always a surprise to people when I tell them that Eisenhower was actually the first black president, if you want to count it in terms of percentages. And there are even people that argue that there have been six black presidents. But Eisenhower was 25% black, for those of you who don't know that. Oh, here's another little fun fact for you. Antifa and BLM attack federal buildings and Democrats cheer. Timothy McVeigh attacked a federal building and they executed him. How about that for an interesting little factoid? Just heard that Jill Biden was on a radio news story. Doing a radio hit is what we call it in the biz. And she says, Joe Biden will do for America's families what he's done for our own. And one of my friends tweeted, I can't wait for my sweet gig on a Ukrainian, I'll get it out, don't worry about it, energy company's board of directors. Yeah. Wouldn't you like to get some of that family love that Joe Biden seems to show Hunter? Hunter, the guy who does not pay his child support. Hunter, the family member of Joe Biden who married his brother's widow and promptly divorced her after he had an affair with a woman of ill repute. So look, if you were to step back for just a second and ask yourself, are these the type of people we want running this country? The answer is, of course not. There's not even, how much common sense do you need to evoke here? They've got, all over the country, we've got people essentially rioting and looting and the crime rate has gone up. They live the most ungodly, unmoral, unethical, or immoral, I guess would be a better word. Thank you, Ms. Pickens, my English teacher. Yeah, immoral, unethical people on the planet who run things. And then they're mad at us when we point it out. I mean, it's not like we're the homeowners association, like that Geico commercial where we're cutting down your bushes for you. We're just pointing out that people should be able to live in their communities, walk their dogs and play outside with their children without fear of getting beat up or fear of being robbed or fear of being murdered. How about that for starts, Democrat? How about we just have, I mean, they talk about, you know, if we could just save one life, if, you know, they speak of their utopians, you know, the all these places as if you go there, everything's going to be wonderful for you. And it is exactly the opposite. Pick your city, doesn't matter where. Kevin Jackson sitting in for Sandy Rios. You can find out more about me at the Kevin Jackson Show. And as I mentioned, we do have a film out. If you want to give us a call, it'll be 888-589-8840. Do you know this? Trump is the first president in 40 years who has not started a war. The guy who was supposed to be unhinged. The guy who the Democrats targeted. Here's the irony of it, the fun part about all of this. The Democrats gave us Donald Trump. They did. They wanted us to have him. They thought he would be the easiest guy to beat, right? Yeah. They thought Donald Trump was such a flawed individual that nobody would ever vote for him. And you know what they did? They gave us. They gave us the person that showed that our failures are not failures. They're just the building blocks of who we become because we're all working to be better people. And we recognize that in Donald Trump. And you know what? He defeated them. And so they had to go after him. They had to go after him. And they said he was unhinged. They said he was boorish, all kinds of stuff. Maybe I'll talk a little bit more about it if that is a topic that you guys want to discuss. But yeah, first president in 40 years who hasn't started a war. And they said, don't give Donald Trump the button. Oh, what else we got? So the newest scandal that the Democrats are wanting to propose on Donald Trump or put on his rather hefty shoulders these days, because he's been lifting up this country now for the better part of 4 years, is this postal scandal. Yeah, they're at it again. They need a new scandal. So now it's the post office. They won't deliver your mail, or they will deliver your mail. I don't know which is it. Maybe you guys know. Maybe you guys can call and tell me what your theory is around the postal thing, because I don't get it. Are they saying that the post office will deliver these? Or that, because that's what some of the Republicans are saying. But Donald Trump says in Florida, I'm all for it. But maybe the Democrats are saying, no, they're not going to deliver it because I heard that 70% of the postal workers are Republicans. I don't believe that. I don't believe that for a second. Any organization that's so heavily funded by the government, you can almost be guaranteed it's full of leftists. But speaking of the Postal Service, the real scandal, here's what's funny. The Democrats want it to be about the mail-in ballots. You know what the real scandal of the Postal Service is, American taxpayers listening to the Sandy Rios in the Morning Show? It's the $78 billion you spent last year to keep it going. How many, look, I would love to see FedEx's books in compared to the Postal Service, or UPS's books in compared to the Postal Service, or DHL, a little more obscure these days. $78 billion we wrapped around the Postal Service. I mean, what kind of company could you run if somebody put $78 billion in your hands every year? Goodness gracious, that it took less than that to bail out the auto industry. And all we're doing is delivering mail, things that we can now do essentially by email, by fax, for all intents and purposes, if you want to send grandma a letter, just shoot, take a picture of it and text it to her. You know, we have made things so easy, and yet we still got this behemoth called the Postal Service. And I could go on. I could just go on. Oh, what else we got to talk about? Man, we have too much to talk about. Yeah. I don't think we can get all this in my bikini. Not without looking like Muffin Top. What else? The Democrat convention, of course, still going on. I don't know about you. I feel uplifted when I listen to the Democrats tell me, Kevin, that Donald Trump, he's going to put you back in chains. He's going to steal your money. He's not going to let you get that health care. Donald Trump does not want you to go to work. I mean, I feel my spirit is enlightened when I watch the Democrats speak. Matt Schlapp of the CPAC, who puts on CPAC every year, the American Conservative Union, he tweeted this. He says, the DNC convention looked like America's got no talent. Oh, my goodness. Hey, you want some real fun? The Democrat National Convention ran sexual abuse commercials. You can't make it up. Audience listening to Kevin Jackson hosting for Sandy Rios, you cannot make this up. They ran sexual abuse commercials. And one of my friends texts me and he says, Kevin, you think it was an apology for letting Bill Clinton speak? Could have been, but it got me thinking. Here's the party of sexual abuse. This is the party of pedophiles. The party of the casting couch. The party of Bill Clinton and the Oval Office shenanigans. And look, was the commercial for Weinstein or was it for Epstein? Pick your Steen, but it's one of those. What else have these people done? They objectify women. I could go on. And they're going to run commercials for sexual abuse. Donald Trump, not to get back onto the Trump train, has done more to stop human trafficking than all the presidents in the modern era, and they say nothing. But they run commercials for sexual abuse. Let me explain, folks, listening to Kevin Jackson here. The reason why this stuff happens, the Democrats tell you who they are by what they do. They are telling you, we are the sexual abusers. So let us try to convince you that we're not. We come back, I'll take your calls, 888-589-8840 if you want to talk to Kevin Jackson. Love talking to you. Let's go.
Well, these are certainly tough, tough times, aren't they? Hi, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, engaging the world with God's Word for more than 80 years at only $5 a Bible. You know, I'm grateful that God has given Bible League a platform for more than 8 decades to address the other pandemic, and that's the shortage of Bibles all over the world in places like Asia, Africa, the Middle East, and Latin America. In fact, at Bible League, we determine that as few as 1 Christian in 10 has a Bible. What's that mean? That during this pandemic, many evangelical Christians elsewhere in the world cannot open their Bible and be reminded of God's promises, like 1 Peter 5:7, cast your cares on Him, for He cares for you. But you know, during this time of sheltering in place, we can shelter in grace. Learn how you can be a blessing to believers around the world praying for a Bible by visiting sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org, or by calling Bible League at 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD.
Jesus says that He did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Luke uses the word division.
Jesus did not come to bring unity. An article by Mason Beasler, staff writer for the AFA Journal.
We've portrayed Jesus as this loving and accepting individual, but that's only part of who He is. That's only part of His character. But the same Jesus who stopped and embraced the children and blessed them and healed the lame and the leper was the same Jesus who flipped over the money tables and drove people out of the temple with a whip. So Jesus came bearing truth, and He walked and talked and preached that truth, and He provides us with an example of how to live fearlessly in support of that truth.
To read Mason's article, visit afa.net/the stand.
I want people to be encouraged to stand for the truth no matter what the cost. I'm not saying it's easy, but when you do, you're not alone.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. I need you to do something right now, folks. Text #250 with the keyword baby. We are in a crisis point in American history, and there is growing concern that the nation's abortion rate is about to explode. So I need your help right now to save the life of an unborn child. And that's why I'm partnering with Preborn, an organization equipping pregnancy centers with ultrasound machines. 80% of women who have an ultrasound save their child. So get on your phone right now. Text #250 with the keyword baby. Text #250 with the keyword baby. There's a tradition at Lubbock Cooper High School in Texas. Seniors get to decorate their reserved parking spots at the start of the school year. It's a tradition that has endured even during a global pandemic. So this year, a bunch of students decided to decorate their connected parking spots with a political message, Trump 2020. But the other day, vandals targeted every parking spot that had a pro-Trump message. At least 11 spots in all doused with paint and anti-Trump graffiti, spray-painted with pro-Black Lives Matter messages. Parents of the MAGA kids say their sons have been targeted and threatened. The school district says the boys were well within their rights to paint political messages on the parking spots, and they say they will not tolerate destruction of school property. Be sure to listen to my national radio show live noon to 3 Eastern, or you can download the free podcast at toddstarnes.com.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Kevin Jackson sitting in for the lovely Sandy Rios. Appreciate you guys hanging in there with me. If you want to connect with me on Twitter, I am Kevin Jackson TBS. That stands for the Black Sphere. For a lot of people do remember my brand, the Black Sphere brand. Former Fox News contributor. I'm a 3-time best-selling author. I hate giving my resume for stuff because I think it's so tacky. But I shall continue. No, I'm kidding. I am the producer of a movie called Bleeding Blue. And I promise you, if you watch this film, you will be blown away. It is absolutely Hollywood quality. BleedingBlueMovie.com. Tell people who have interest in law enforcement if they want to see something that is going to leave them indelibly touched. Harris's eligibility was discussed. I'm talking about Kamala Harris, the running mate of Joe Biden, soon to be 3-time loser Joe Biden. And Newsweek questioned it. And then they apologized for doing it. And they went to the Trump campaign and they said, hey, Donald Trump, what do you think about Harris's eligibility? And Trump in the campaign went, she's eligible. We don't care. And you know why they were so flippant about it? Because they know they're going to win. Oh, I'm glad you guys are hanging in there with me. Hobart, Indiana's mayor switched from Democrat to Republican. Do you know how many Democrats have switched to Republican in the last 4 years? I'm not talking about people you know. Well, we all know somebody like that. In fact, a guy the other day told me that he had five friends that switched from Republican to Democrat. And I said, you're a liar. That hasn't happened. I can't name it. I have spoken to hundreds of thousands of people in the last 4 years, and I can't tell you. I don't even remember anybody, not a single person telling me, Kevin, I don't like Trump. He got elected and he didn't do what I needed him to do, and I'm switching back. It has not happened. But there are a lot of Democrats switching. Some of them are switching for scurrilous reasons because they want to hide their leftism by changing their party affiliation. But there are a lot of them who have sickened of the Democratic Party. Let's take a few calls. Nadine is calling from Texas, the state where I hail from. Hey, Nadine, how are you?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I have a question. I was listening yesterday, and I didn't get a chance to call in. Everybody was talking about Biden and Kamala Harris and everything. Okay, God forbid, let's say he does get elected. Something mm-hmm. happens to Biden. I have a question. Tell me if I'm wrong. I've always heard that Kamala Harris is not a United States. She's probably a citizen, but she was not born in the United States. She cannot become president because she's
yeah,
not,
she's eligible. That's just what I covered.
United States.
Now, she's eligible. She is eligible to be president. She is, yeah. Her parents are both citizens, and her father's Jamaican, her mother's Indian, but they were citizens at the time when she was born. And I think there's some issues related to Canada, but she, you know, it's all resolved. Like Ted Cruz had to renounce his Canadian citizenship because he was a dual citizen. But he, again, both parents were citizens of America at the time of his birth. So, and he was born in Canada or something like that. I know there was some issues, but he just had to renounce his citizenship. But no, she is eligible. And and you don't even need to say God forbid. Joe Biden will not be president. Look, if you're watching this Democrat convention and you think that there's a bunch of enthusiasm for the Biden-Harris ticket, they're begging. They're begging, please, please, please. And they're telling you what they want to do. There's a clip that plays during the break with Hillary Clinton talking about we have to vote in overwhelming numbers. Well, they should have told people that were voting when Biden was running without any competition. And I talked about this yesterday. Biden got 57% of the vote with no competition in Kentucky. He got 67.2. I looked and now it's 71% of the vote in New York with no competition. The Bernie vote all over the country is probably an average of 20 to 25%. And Joe Biden is not bringing the Bernie vote. AOC went on, literally took her minute to beg people to not vote for Biden and to vote for Bernie Sanders at the Democrats convention. Folks, is there a bit of a splinter there maybe? Do you think, and I asked this question the other day, do you think black folks are just sitting around going, I can't wait to vote for Joe Biden. He's my man. Yeah. Said who? This is the man that said, I go to the black sections of my town, parks in the black sections of my town, and I lecture black men, it's okay to wear a condom. I say to black women, it's okay to say no. Those are his words. The guy that said, you ain't black if you don't vote for me. The guy that talked about, you can't be a Pakistani, you can't work at a 7-Eleven and not be a Pakistani. The guy who's been friends with segregationists and said to Cory Booker, I'm not apologizing for it. And I could go on. But no, Trump is the racist. All right. Hey, thanks for the call, Nadine. We got April calling from Arkansas. Hey, April.
Hi. I have two different parts to mine. The first thing is, I don't know if anybody else noticed, but I was watching the day three of the convention, and Jill Biden was wearing the same dress as day two, and I believe day one. So you can kind of tell that all of this is kind of pre-recorded unless she really doesn't change. So that was just my kind of observation on that.
You go, April.
the post office, I was listening to another news network, and a post office worker had called in and stated that during the Obama administration that the Congress passed a law that required the post office to pay all future employees' retirements automatically and put it into a savings account. And that's why they're bankrupt each year, because all of their operational money is tied up in future retirements of workers. So I'm not sure how much truth is into that, but that's kind of what they said about that. And then the last thing is they did a report, and most of the post office boxes, the thousands, were actually closed by Obama during the Obama administration. And so from what I can tell, and what I figured out about the Democrats, is that anything that they say is something that they're either doing or going to do. And so that's kind of how, you know, I can read what they're saying. So if they go on there and they say, well, Trump's stealing votes by mail-in ballots, then, you know, that's something that they're doing.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks for the call, April. It's clear that whenever the Democrats tell, whenever they say something, they're telling you their hand. If they call you a racist, it's because they're racist. And I could go on. And it's easily provable. You know, I don't know if anybody wants to get into it during this particular program, but it's easily provable. You tell me what they say, I'll give you the facts on what they've actually done. And I'll show you that it's they who are the crooks and the scoundrels. Look, the Postal Service to me is not even really a matter of discussion, because it's subterfuge. The real issue here, and we know this, America, there's no secret here. If you've got any a modicum of common sense, two brain cells to rub together, you know that the Democrats tried to cheat. And all these things now were, oh, we want mail-in ballots. Why? Because they tried to cheat. And they know that may be the only way to win. If they aren't voting for dead people, if they aren't having people vote multiple times, if they're not trying to register illegals, people that should not be voting, then, I mean, how else could they possibly win? And here's what I say to the left. I don't know how you guys feel. I'm pretty sure I do, and you're probably going to agree with me. If I win by cheating, it's not a win. There's no joy in that for me. So, but Democrats, they do, because they have no moral core. Most of us go, look, if we have a battle of ideas, and your ideas went out over mine, and we have fought with honor, then I don't really care. That is the warrior code. For Democrats, it has nothing to do with, I mean, look, let's put it on paper and ask ourselves, which of these candidates will we choose? So let me give it to you this way. Donald Trump is a graduate of Wharton. So I want to just flip this. Barack Obama is a graduate of Wharton. I'm just flipping it to make him Donald Trump. He graduates with good grades that you can actually go find. He then gets a loan from his dad, and he builds a $1 million loan, and he builds a multi-billion dollar business. He then builds a brand too, not just builds a business, builds a brand that is known for quality and excellence all over the world. He then parlays that into becoming a reality TV star. So he goes completely into a whole other career path and becomes a reality TV star. He parlays that into becoming the president of the United States. Do you think that they would say, oh, well, his daddy gave him $1 million and that's how he became a billionaire? Or do you think they would say, what a story? Guy goes, you know, studies hard, doesn't do drugs, never had a drink in his life, didn't snort cocaine or smoke pot like Barack Obama, you know, built the business by going to work, things you can see that has the Obama name on it. You can go to any iconic city and there's something built with Obama's name, a brand known for luxury and quality, et cetera. Do you think people would be fighting? We wouldn't be fighting it. We would be going, wow, they really found a really good, light-skinned, articulate, clean black man to run as a Democrat. We would be impressed by that. But instead, with Donald Trump, he's a pariah, just to give you sort of an idea. All right, let's bring Donald on from Texas. What's up, Donald?
Well, you kind of answered my question, because I was calling in about the mail-in ballots, because I personally changed the way I vote because of all these people. I'm not going to receive a ballot through the mail. I'm going to actually go to the polls. I'm tired
good for you.
Of the I am tired of the rhetoric. The thing is that they got. I'm a Christian first of all, a conservative second of all. Okay,
mm-hmm.
But I put Christian at the head, is I'm tired of actually both parties, the way they run their platforms. I'm more toward the Republican platform because that stands for biblical things that I believe in. I will, unless Democrats make a great, great, great big change, I'm not going to vote for a Democrat because it's liberal now. It's more moving toward socialism and communism and Marxism and all that. I'm 74 years old. I like where I live. I love the country. I served my country 3 different tours during the Vietnam thing, and I'm proud of being an American. And the thing is, I'm just tired of all the lies, the hoopla, whatever you want to call it. But well, I did change my way of voting.
Yeah, I was going to ask. I was just about to ask you, were you a Democrat in the past? Because you sound like a reformed Democrat, Donald.
No. I've always been Republican. There was a time in my teenage life that the difference between Republicans and Democrats was so slim, you couldn't tell the difference. You really had to study them out. Mm-hmm. But so as I grew up and I became a voter, I always voted Republican because it always stood on the side that I believed in. And of course, my Christian faith tells me that I am doing right in that. When I go to the polls, I pray. I don't know about a lot of voters. I pray before I vote because I just don't want to put an X by somebody's name because they have an R behind it or an I or
yeah, of course.
I pray for all the ones that I pray for the ones that I am voting for.
I get it. So let me ask you a couple of questions. So do you know any Democrats? I mean, obviously Republicans and being a Christian conservative, you probably associate. Let me finish my question. You probably associate with Christian conservatives. So do you? I mean, I do my best not to hang out with Democrats, even though I don't discriminate necessarily, because sometimes I have to be forced to be around them. But when I am, I question them. So let me ask you, do you know any Democrats that are no longer happy with the Democratic Party?
I know Democrats that are happy with the Democratic Party and they call themselves Christian.
Yeah, that's kind of a strange one, isn't it?
I always ask the pertinent question. Look at the platform. Are they backed up by the Word of God or not? And if they're Christian, I talk to a lot of people. I go out witnessing on the street. I help down at the food bank here in Terrell and stuff of that nature. I love people. I don't care the color of your skin. I don't care what, rich, poor, indifferent, whatever. I try to take the message of the Lord Jesus Christ to them.
I got you. All right. Well, listen, thanks for the call, Donald. So the question, folks, to me, Kevin Jackson, sitting in for Sandy today, is what does it take? What does it take to convert that person? Because I get asked that all the time. You know, Kevin, were you converted? Because I'm Black and I had to have been a Democrat and I never was. I tell Democrats and people that ask me that I was never stupid enough to be a Democrat. But here's Donald talking about he knows Christians or they claim themselves to be Christians who are proud Democrats. And I think that these are people stuck in this identity of what it means to be a, quote, liberal or a Democrat. They're stuck in the idea that Democrats, they believe, were the people that were marching with Martin Luther King and all this. And it's a strange thing because they really don't understand the history of it. I was talking to an 80-year-old Ivy League professor, and he was telling me that he marched in the 60s, he was a stone cold leftist, and he was trying to figure out why he doesn't feel the affinity towards the Black community that he used to feel in the 60s. And he felt like he changed. And I'll give you the answer when we come back after the break. If you want to call in, 888-589-8840. Kevin Jackson sitting in for Sandy Rios. We'll be back.
you want to know God? Do you want to see God? Do you want to walk with God? That motivation will drive purity into your soul and impurity away. You will not want anything to get in that process.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, How to Be Happy According to Jesus, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Hi, this is Dan Celia from Financial Issues. We as God's people need to be good stewards of all that He has given us. That is so important, and that's what drives me each day as I break down the latest financial numbers and talk to listeners across the country about their use of the money that God has entrusted to them. Join me each morning from 8 to 10 Central and Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock Central Time for Financial Issues right here on American Family Radio.
Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. No one likes to suffer difficult circumstances. In this era of easy believism, it's often conveyed, if life isn't always smooth, we're doing something wrong. The scripture teaches us, however, that our Lord often meets fruitful branches with additional pruning. The pruning is not punishment. It's actually to make us even more fruitful. If you're in a rough spot right now, take heart. What may feel like the squeeze to end all squeezes could very well be the Lord's pruning for additional fruitfulness. When the Lord prunes us, He does so for our good.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Ryan Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Governor Andrew Cuomo, who thinks more highly of Andrew Cuomo than anybody in America, is publishing a new book on his leadership of New York through the COVID crisis. The title is Leadership Lessons from the COVID-19 Pandemic. If this is a book about what he learned, it will be the shortest book in the history of books. Cuomo ordered nursing homes to take in COVID-infected patients. The result was at least 11,000 dead senior citizens. In fact, the death rate in New York is the worst in the entire world, almost double the rate of the runner-up. Cuomo has done almost everything wrong since the beginning, including lockdowns, quarantining the healthy, and mandating useless masks. If somebody's going to write a book, he ought to have some idea what he's talking about. Governor Cuomo does not.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. A classic maneuver in the playbook of fraudsters is known as the bait and switch. Offer one thing to an unwitting customer and deliver a very different and much less desirable thing post-sale. It seems the Democratic Party has adopted this technique to sell the public a carefully crafted message that obscures rather than illuminates what is really being served up. For example, during primetime broadcasts over the past few days of the party's virtual convention, a cavalcade of speakers, including a few with ties to Republican administrations, have promised unity, civil tranquility, and a strong foreign policy. Those selected to discuss the Democrats' actual agenda during the convention's daytime non-broadcast sessions, however, make clear that it is about identity politics that deeply divide and other radical and even dangerous policy prescriptions both domestically and internationally. Caveat emptor. Let the buyer beware. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Kevin Jackson sitting in for Sandy Rios, and I am happier than a preacher's kid at a biker chick rally to be spending time with you people. You are amazing people. I'm going to give you a pep talk. Let me tell you something. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what gender you are. I don't care what sexuality you are. I don't care what creed you are. You are the most industrious, hardworking, loving, caring, selfless, giving people on the planet. And don't let anybody else tell you different. They will call you racist. They will call you sexist, homophobic, whatever. What you are is a Bible reading person who understands the Word of God, and you say, despite your flaws, despite however you may turn away from that, I still love you. And the left doesn't understand that. They envy that about you. They envy that you can see the wrong in somebody and not hold it against them. That you can say, you know, what's this, the thing? Love the sinner, not the sin, something along those lines. My brother has the PhD in theology. I'm just going to give you some Kevin Street logic here, okay? Speaking of whom, Kevin Jackson is who I am, sitting in for Sandy. And you can find out more about me at the Kevin Jackson Show. There are many of you who know of my work through the blacksphere.net, a snarky blog website that I write pretty much every day about something crazy that's happening in the world of leftism. Bizarro world is what I call it. And of course, we've got a new film out called Bleeding Blue, bleedingbluemovie.com. I hope you check it out. In fact, the next time I host for one of the shows on AFA, I hope you've seen the film and you'll call me and give me your take on it, because I'm telling you, you are going to rave. Anyway, we've got a lot that we've been talking about. And the love of this country is a thing that draws us together. That, and obviously, I think we're all pretty much equally yoked when it comes to our spirituality. Well, maybe not equally, but we're all on our path, and we're all on our walk with God uniquely. And I'm happy that is the common tie. But the other common tie is us caring for one another and things that the left pretend that we don't have and they pretend that they do have. I want to bring on, let me finish the story. I was telling you about this buddy of mine he's 80 years old. He's an accomplished economist. I mean, a person you'd know. He's a very important individual in the world economy. And we were talking, and he says, Kevin, back in the 60s, I marched with blacks. I was the card-carrying liberal Jewish guy. And he says, I was so down with the brothers, right? And he goes, but today I feel no affinity towards blacks. And he felt guilty. He's having a conversation with a black man, and he's going, Kevin, I see no need to help you. And I told him, congratulations that you evolved. Congratulations that you don't see me as a pet that you need to help. And here's why. In the 1960s, we weren't pets. Black people had legitimate grievances. When you're getting water cannon sprayed on you and dog sicked on you because somebody doesn't like the color of your skin and doesn't want to see you rise because they're afraid of you for a variety of reasons. They're afraid of how you raised your kids. They're afraid of the intellect and the drive that it took for you to overcome slavery and the lack of civil rights. And they see that you are marching right through it. They see that power. That exists, that blood that pumps through your veins, and they go, whoa, we got to stop them. And that's what the Democrats tried to do. So you were right to jump into that fight. I said, but today you'd be crazy to want to protect black folks. We are the most coddled group of people on the planet. Hey, Kevin, I know you're not smart enough to get into college based on this testing, so let's lower the standards. And they've lowered the standards in decorum, how you raise your kids, how you are in your neighborhoods, what do you have to do to perform at your job? Everything is a lower standard for blacks. And you think that you're supposed to be down with that? Let me speak for you, white Christian conservatives. You, whether you say it or not openly, you are disgusted at that. What happened to the world that challenged people to be better and said, take personal responsibility? So I speak for you in saying, Don't be mad at yourselves. Don't feel bad that you don't have that same feeling of wanting to, you know, become part of the Martin Luther King movement. That movement is long dead. We got to get to some calls or I'll run out of time. So let's bring in Brian, because we were talking about how do you change the views of Christians that are Democrats? How do you change their views? Brian from South Dakota may have the answer. Hey, Brian.
Yeah, well, thank you. I think there's at least two, just to oversimplify it, there's two different types of Democrats that I've got folks close to me and my family. I was raised in a home, lifelong Democrats. I wasn't saved till I was 30. But with all that said, you got some that just became absolutely sold out left wing nuts through the Obama administration. And those, to me, I mean, it just gets difficult. And I have loved ones that claim to be Christians. They would give you a gospel answer if you asked them if they were saved or if they were a Christian. But part of why I think they give it is because they've heard it so many times. They've heard it from me and from others so many times. But their authority clearly is not the Word of God at all. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, there's a lot of big picture Christendom that that's the case. But then you got another group, I believe, and again, an oversimplification, but they have just been led by the propaganda machine and just have not even been exposed to the truth. And to a certain extent, that's kind of where I was at the age of 30, having more to do with the gospel and the truths of Scripture, but kind of the same thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that first group I'm talking about, you just need to really be prayerful about having opportunity and prayerful that God will work in their heart, and especially in the way of the gospel. If they truly come to Christ, their eyes are going to open to the fact that they better not be supporting, you know, the LGBTQ-loving, Marxist-loving, baby-killing-loving party in America. Good gracious, man. How can a born-again believer even do that? You know, I know God's the one who knows. He knows the heart. I'm not trying to pretend, but at the same time, it's like, come on, man.
You know, I get it. All right. I get it, Brian.
Theological. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway,
I get it. Well, listen. Nutshell,
that's kind of what I wanted to say.
I appreciate that. So real quickly, I'll just tell you my approach. My approach to people who are dogmatic in the way that they think about this stuff is you ask a few questions and you walk away, you know, because there is a bunch of propaganda. And to Brian's point, there are people who've sold out to the idea that they're virtue signal because they voted for Obama. So if I can, you know, if I voted for the black guy, I feel, you know, they feel better about it. But we are led by propaganda. But I think that when you're engaging with these people, and because I've been hit from every direction on, you know, how do you even know there's a God, to, you know, to just whatever, you know, and I'm sure you guys have heard all the questions. I engage. It really is that simple. You don't let them get away with it. Now, the one thing I will tell you is, I don't try to get biblical. As I said, my brother has a PhD in theology, not me. I just ask very simple questions. You know, I ask a question of abortionists, you know, when they ask about, you know, trimesters and all this stuff. And I say, look, I have a very simple question for you as to, you know, when is a human being a human being? Who skipped conception? If you can explain to me somebody that skipped conception, then I will tell you that it's not a human being, dead or alive. If you can explain who skipped conception, I'll say it. Okay, it isn't a baby in the first trimester. Who skipped it? Nobody. So it's a human being the moment that the sperm fertilizes the egg. I think I've won that battle. Anyway, we're going to move on. Dickie from Georgia. Dickie?
I'm here.
Yeah. What's up, man?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can.
You let me vent this morning.
Yeah.
Listen, I listened to the Democrats last night, as long as I could stand it. I've listened to them before, and, you know, and I'm speaking to Republicans, too, this morning. You know, as a white man, I get denied contracts because I'm white. I get denied jobs because I'm white. And other minorities, they get jobs regardless if they're qualified or not. They get jobs because of affirmative action. I hear the Democrats talking about everybody in America needs a fair chance to get a job. Everybody in America needs a fair chance to get good pay. But nobody wants to speak about this racist program, affirmative action. A person it should be an insult to get a job. So we're going to give you the job not because of your merit. We're just going to give it to you because you're a minority. That ought to be a slap in the face to somebody.
Well, it is. It is a slap in the face. I was having this conversation. Thanks for the call, Dickie. I was having a conversation with somebody about, you know, because I'm an electrical engineer. And when I got hired, they wanted me to join the Black Engineers Association. And I go, why? What are we designing products for black people? Because we were designing supercomputers. I designed supercomputers for a living. And I'm going, What is there, like a supercomputers for black people thing I don't know about? And so I deny. I was like, no, I'll just be part of the IEEE, which is all engineers. And that's what I joined. And then it was funny because I was talking to a guy, he was Indian. His name was Haroon. And he said to me, Kevin, I heard you got accepted to MIT. Why didn't you go? And I said, well, I got a scholarship to SMU, blah, blah, blah. And he was going on and on about MIT. And how, you know, what I missed. And I let him go on for about 5 minutes. I hadn't been at the job maybe 6 months. And all these old school white engineers were listening to me. And I looked up at him from the break room table and I said, well, Haroon, you went to MIT. I went to SMU and we're both working on the same project. And everybody just looked at him like, wow, you just got blasted. Look, I earned my way with everything that I've ever done. And if you want to play affirmative action, that's fine. But it didn't take you long to figure out I earned my way. And I think that's the beacon you have to be. Here's what I would say to you, Dickie. You just keep doing a great job and getting those other part of the contracts that you get. This will correct itself. Let's bring Barb in from North Carolina. Hey, Barb. Hello.
Yes, hi.
Hey, Barb.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I'm enjoying your show, and I kind of put my little foil cap on in terms of Kamala's pick. And we pretty much know that it was not sleepy quid pro Joe that made that choice. George Soros is the one pulling those strings.
Okay.
Well, I think Joe will be inaugurated to honor him, and very shortly thereafter, he will either voluntarily or be forced to resign. And that will make Kamala the Harris, the president. Mm-hmm. So if I go back when I was younger and Ford became president, he appointed as his vice president Rockefeller, who was confirmed by the Senate. So that means that Kamala would then be appointing a vice president. And I think as a payback to George Soros, her choice would be the 35-year-old New York City-born son of George Soros, who was Alexander Soros.
Here's the only flaw in your problem, in your theory there, Barb, is Kamala Harris will never get the title vice president because Joe Biden will not win. And I'm as confident of that as I was in 2016 when I was talking all my friends off the ledge, telling them that Donald Trump was going to beat Hillary Clinton. And they were just like, I don't know. And I go, guys, calm down. We got this thing. And let me tell you, don't believe any polls. Don't believe what you're seeing. The enthusiasm is in our corner. And if you don't believe me, as I said, find me. And by the way, call the show. If you know more than one person who switched from being a Republican to going to vote but that says, I'm not going to vote for Trump, I'll vote for Biden, please call and let me know. Because I can tell you this, for every one of you that call, I will name one of the people that I know who's a Democrat. I'm talking about public Democrat or anti-Trump, who is now solidly in Donald Trump's corner. Thanks for the call, Barb. Linda from Tennessee. You there, Linda?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello.
We hear you.
Hello. Yes. I am an educator, and I'm not giving you opinion. I'm giving some facts. Our Constitution, Article 2, Section 1, says, and people don't read the whole sentence, it says, to be eligible for president, it must be a natural-born.
I got it. Hey, listen, we're out of time, Linda. I apologize. I can hear the music playing. That's not me cueing you out, but appreciate the call. Harris, whether she's qualified or not, it's going to be a moot point. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Kevin Jackson sitting in for Sandy Rios. I hope you have a great and blessed day. We'll talk to you again soon.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family or American